thing with Brother Kane.
The light?
About the OCD thing and the blue light. You fixed that one. But what about this one?
Yeah.
Everybody and their brother's looking at this one.
We're not going to do it now, but there's a way that can be put on that doesn't show.
Yeah,
it gave Carl Holmes real problem. He said he didn't notice it until
I wouldn't be talking to you now if he hadn't pointed out to me. So, amen. All right. Yes, troublemaker. Amen.
How enlightening.
How enlightening, yes. Amen. My kind of humor right there, amen. Corny, it's corny. That's why my name is Cobb. But anyway, I thought I was quick until I met my wife, and she kind of, there ain't nobody quicker than my wife. And I don't even try anymore. But in all seriousness, I want to thank you, Brother Asquith. Thank you for the opportunity to preach today. Amen. And I never take an invitation lightly, and I appreciate it and offering whatever. Amen. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the Morey's taking such good care of us this week with the Liberty Behind Bars meeting and feeding us and just making sure everything was taken care of. And take your Bible. I want you to find two places. Go to Matthew chapter 16 and 1 Peter chapter 5. Matthew chapter 16 and 1 Peter chapter number 5. I honestly do not know of a lease. I don't even know the right way to say that. I don't know a pastor in America who's less jealous than your pastor.
Amen. Amen.
Business meeting today, voting on new pastor. That would be the opportunity when they would have to preach, and so I do not take this lightly. And I want to say I am so much in favor of Brother McVeigh becoming the next pastor that I even voted. Five times. If the Democrats can do it, I can do it. Okay? And so I just wanted to pad the numbers a little and help the majority. And if there's anybody in this room thinks that I'm serious over that, you're right. No, I'm just kidding, all right? You don't have to re-vote or anything, but I appreciate that. And it's amazing, too, what's going on, because when I found out that I would be preaching today and did not know any of this until I got here, this was the only message that the Lord gave me right off the bat.
Amen.
And I want to preach to you on my favorite subject, the church. I like preaching on the entire counsel of God, but my heart as an evangelist is to be a help to the church.
Right.
And I will say this. Every good thing that's ever happened in my life has been a result of the local church.
Oh, glory, brother.
I heard the gospel because of a church. I went to Christian school. My mom put me and my sister in Christian school when we started going to the church. And me and my wife got married as a result of the church. And I'll just be honest with you. The reason that I considered Stacy Greger was my pastor thought it was a good idea.
Amen. I love it.
Amen.
He said, "You ought to marry her." I said, "Okay." And never mind. Anyways, and people say, "Well, that's a dumb reason to get married." Well, last October 8th, we marked 30 years. It's worked out well. And God called me to preach in the local church. God called me in evangelism in the local church. God sent us out of a local church. And And so for people that don't think the church is important, number one, you don't know the Bible. And because you don't know the Bible, you're just wrong. Church is important. And I feel sorry for people that take the church lightly. And people that do not have a church are missing out on the greatest blessing next to salvation that there is. And so Matthew chapter 16, we'll go there first, and then we'll quickly turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Pray for me. I'm going to try to preach an hour and a half message into about 40 minutes, okay? And so Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I understand context. All right? We are the church. Okay? About 2:30 this afternoon, this will not be a church. It's just going to be a building. Okay? We're the church. But we do have the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the church at Galatia, the church at Philippi, the church in Thessalonica. God works through local churches.
Amen. That's right.
We've got two families in our church that came out of the home church movement, which is straight out of hell against God. And they teach no authority. It's a bunch of rebels. That's who is involved in home church movements. It's rebels. And what's sad is I've seen a lot of them, home church movements, they get so big that they have to become what they hate. Because there's too many for there not to be a leader. And so then they become what they don't like.
Yeah.
And they'd have been better off just starting off right in the first place.
Amen.
Amen. And so go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to look at a verse, a very familiar verse, but in context of this thought on the church, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan hates you.
Amen.
Saved or lost, Satan hates you. And I cannot be any clearer and say it with any more unction and fervency than what I'm going to say. But in addition to Satan hating you, Satan hates this church. He hates Black Creek Baptist Church. He hates the fact that it exists. He hates the people that are in it.
Yes, yes.
He hates the ministries that you have. He hates the meetings that you have. He hates everything this church does. Everything this church stands for, he hates it. There is not one thing about this church that he has the slightest tolerance for.
Yes, yeah, true.
Please don't take what I'm saying lightly. If he could find a way that we don't even finish this service, he would do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have seen it happen with my own two eyes.
That's right, brother.
The church that I got saved at, It's 45 minutes from here in Yorkshire, New York, not Lighthouse.
I understand.
And on a Sunday morning, I was sitting on the front row right where that microphone stand is, and the pastor got up, good man of God, got up, and I don't ever remember if he said why. I was very young at the time. I would have been 11 years old. And he got up and he said this. He said, I want you to forgive me ahead of time. He says, I'm not as prepared as I would like to be this morning. And that's all I remember, because he got interrupted by a deacon who raised his hand. And for an hour and a half, they shellacked that preacher. They accused him of everything under the sun, every ungodly thing under the sun. And that was Sunday morning. By the following Saturday, that man and his wife and everything he owned was in Florida. He never did preach that morning. Amen. Because a bunch of deacons trying to cause hell in the church.
They got what they deserved.
The greatest thing, one of the greatest things that happened to me as pastor of New Life Baptist Church, about 6 months after I got there, we had 17 people, Brother Ashquith, when I got there. And they had four deacons and an associate pastor with 17 people. And we had a meeting one night, and it was just a normal thing, and it was the associate pastor and, three deacons. What's one or two amongst so many? And I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do about this, and I was getting ready to do something, right? And Brother Cook, the Lord said, don't do a thing. I'm going to take care of this. And in that meeting, one of the deacons got up and he said, you know, he said, I was a deacon when Brother Cobb got here. He goes, he might not want me to be a deacon. He said, so I'm offering my resignation. Okay. And the Lord said, now ask the rest of the guys what they think about what he just said. And the other two said, I never wanted to be a deacon. And the associate pastor said, I've been trying to resign as an associate pastor for 5 years. Brother Ireland would never let me. He says, I don't need a title. I said, so we don't have no more deacons or associate pastor. They said, nope. I said, praise God. Amen. One of them said, now you do know that now everything's on you. I said, it was already on me before you were, when you were a deacon or not a deacon. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I joked around with them. I said, you do know what deacon rhymes with, right?
Oh.
Demon. But anyways, I just throw that out there. And so... People, God, the devil will use anything he can to destroy a church. You say, oh, I don't think we got to worry about not having the business meeting or not finishing the service. Do not underestimate the power of the devil.
Come on.
If the devil could find a way to close the doors between now and Wednesday, he'll do it. Or try to. Amen. And so cause the devil has zero tolerance for this church. And so not knowing about Brother McVeigh and all that kind of thing, and the Lord giving me this message, can I just say to you, Black Creek Baptist Church currently is in a very vulnerable situation. Very vulnerable situation. Everybody knows. Y'all were voting today, and so does the devil. Everybody knows. And the devil is not lost. It's not lost on him either. I was in a church a few months ago, and the pastor had gotten cancer real bad. And he stepped away from his responsibilities, not his role, his responsibilities, and handed his responsibilities to his associate pastor, good man. And Brother Ashford, I'm talking about the man was at home dying. Mm-hmm. And the doctors were doing their best, and they had some hope and up valleys, ups. You know how it is with all that stuff. Well, there was people in that church saying, well, Pastor so-and-so needs to figure out what he's doing so we can go on. Well, he don't, how's he supposed to determine whether he's going to live or die?
Come on.
I had a guy in a church call me brokenhearted and telling me about this stuff that's going on. I said, well, I'm just going to tell you how I'm going to pray. And you, there might be some in this room, you may not like this.
Come on.
I know, really don't care. I said, well, I'm going to tell you, brother, how I'm going to pray. I said, I'm going to pray that those people causing those problems either get right with God mm-hmm. or God kills them.
Amen.
I've got this much tolerance for a devil in the church who will try to tear up a church.
Come on. Right.
And that's what they are that would do that. They're a devil. Because God bled and died for the church. And we are a local body of believers that Christ bled and died for. And so how does the devil... I want to preach to you on how the devil wants to destroy the church. So how does the devil try to destroy the church? Number one, and there's a lot of ways. I'm just going to give you a few. Number one, he will try to get people to discredit the word of God. The very first thing the devil attacked in the Bible was the word of God. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And so what he'll try to do is he will try to destroy the word of God. And it has been, on one hand, it's an amazing thing to me. On another hand, it's not an amazing thing to me. How many independent Baptist churches that I would consider part of our circle who are laying aside the word of God?
Right.
And when I say that, I mean they're going away from the King James Bible. Now, my opinion, this is my opinion, and I'm sure there'd be a lot of here, if not all, would agree in here. One of the greatest teachers on the King James Bible sitting right over there that I know in the United States of America. But God could still destroy this church. With the Bible issue.
Yeah.
I got a thing in the mail last year and an email. I don't know how I ever got on these people's mailing list, but there was a there is a group out there called Church Advance, which is kind of funny because they're not advancing at all; they're going the other way. And they had this meeting last year, this conference, and one of the workshops in this conference was called the Translation Transition. And here's the description of it. Brian discusses, it's Pastor Brian Sams from the River City Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Brian discusses the practical steps he took with his church as they made the transition from KJV only to modern translations of the Bible. And two of the guys that preached or taught in that workshop, y'all know who Brother Bill Grady is?
Yeah.
Who taught the King James Bible
yeah.
at a college that I would not recommend anybody to go to. But two of the teachers in this conference were his students. The devil is subtle. And so you hear you have these guys who were staunch King James only. Now they're transitioning. So guess what? It must not be a big deal. It must be okay. Watch out. That's how the devil tries to destroy the church. He will try to get you to doubt or question the author of the Bible, the authority of the Bible, the authenticity of the Bible. But can I just say, it's not just an attack on the Word of God. Amen. The devil might try to get different Bible versions or perversions in the church, but it's more than that. Do you realize the devil could destroy Black Creek Baptist Church with the King James Bible?
Yeah.
You say, how in the world could he destroy this church with the King James Bible? He just got to get you not to read it.
Amen. Come on.
He's got to get you to not believe it.
Right.
Not obey it. Not study it. Not memorize it. And a church can go down with in flames with the King James Bible being lifted up. Because people quit using it. They quit studying it. They quit living it. They quit obeying it. Can you imagine what the devil could do to this church if he could get everybody in here to quit reading their Bible? Quit studying their Bible? Amen. Quit obeying it. Quit living it. There are a lot of big name Baptists today who are making this leap away from the Word of God.
Yes. Yeah. God help.
Sadly, I see a lot of younger guys who see, quote unquote, the benefits of compromise.
Uh-huh.
It would mean more people, more money.
Yeah.
Not as narrow-minded. We're open. We're accepting. We had some visitors come to our church a couple of years ago. They really liked Brother Maury, and she was a Paula White disciple, and she asked me one day. She said, "I noticed that you only use the King James." I said, "Well, we don't use the King James. We believe the King James." She says, "Well," she says, "I use an NIV. Is that going to be a problem?" I said, "Eventually it will."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "But I promise you this." I said, "You're visiting, so you know you're not a member." I says, "But I promise you this." I said, if I ever hear of you saying anything to anybody in our church and trying to get them to use the NIV or start promoting the NIV, I said, you will not last long.
Good. Yeah.
I said, it will not bode well for you. And wimpy little husband just sits there and doesn't say a word. The most famous version right now out there, the most popular one, is people are flocking to the ESV.
Yeah.
And when a preacher in Maine, two things are running rampant in Maine right now, Brother Asquith. Calvinism is going rampant. And among Baptists and a lot of guys are ditching the King James Bible. And when a pastor up in Maine was confronted by a dear friend of mine, because he had preached for him about his going to the ESV, here was his response. "While it's not as bad as the others."
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could mention names of famous big name Baptists right now that are on the boards of Bible colleges who have ditched the King James Bible, but they don't want you to know it, because it'll hurt their pocketbook if you know that they have switched. I'm glad I speak English and I have a perfect Bible in English.
Amen.
Amen. The second way the devil will try to destroy this church is try to get people to doubt God.
Hello.
Try to get people to doubt God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path." Satan, in getting Eve to doubt the word of God, got Eve to doubt God.
That's right.
And the devil will try to get you to doubt God's actions. He will try to get you to doubt God's motives.
Right.
He will try to get you to not understand why God's doing. He will try to get you to doubt God's power and his ability.
Mm-hmm.
He will try to get you to doubt what God is trying to do in your life.
Yes.
Yeah, all kind of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
He'll even try to get you to doubt what God's doing in other people's lives.
Right.
Why, God? Why this? Why now? Why not this? Why him? Why her? Why me? What? Why?
Mm-hmm.
So we obviously know that God has a perfect plan for Black Creek Baptist Church.
Amen.
Yeah. Right? He does. We don't necessarily have to know what it is. We don't necessarily, amen, have to be able to explain it. We just have to follow him by faith.
Amen. Yes.
That's all you got to do. Just follow God by faith. Mm-hmm. We trust God to be God, and we trust God to be right about everything. The third thing the devil will try to do to destroy the church is he will try to get people to disobey the commands of God.
Right.
I quoted the verse this morning. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point, but his commands are not grievous.
Amen.
But sadly, in Laodicea, this book is just another book like any other book.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that sits on the shelf with everything else. And Sunday morning, you pull it off because you need it to go to church. And then when you get home this afternoon, it'll go back on the shelf. And it won't be looked at. It won't be studied. It won't be memorized. It won't be meditated on. It won't be obeyed until you pull it out Wednesday and bring it back. And listen, we had a guy in our church up in Buffalo. He was another. I would put him up against anybody debating the King James Bible. But he had a problem. His home was a mess. His wife hated his guts. Because he spent more time studying the Bible than he did raising his kids. His kids' lives were a mess. I mean, I'm talking about drunkenness, drug use, kids out of wedlock, and this guy, amen, he could team up with you, brother, in a King James debate. He was sitting in my office one day and across from me, and he didn't like what I had to say. I said, brother, here's your problem. He said, what? I said, your problem is this. I said, you can defend the Bible, but you have no living of the Bible.
That's exactly right. That's good.
You can defend it with the best of them. You can go back in history and prove why it's how God brought it out, how it got translated, all of the logistics of it. I said, but you ain't spent 2 seconds living what you believe.
Uh-huh.
He didn't do what that book said. See, whatever happened to him? Last I knew, everything about him was a mess still. This book is not just another piece of literature.
Yeah, that's right.
Please don't take this as disrespectful, because to me it sounds disrespectful, but it's not. This is a really cool book.
Yeah.
This book is a neat book.
Right.
There is action in here.
Yeah, yeah.
There is drama in here.
That's right.
There is comedy in here. Haman getting hung on his own gallows. That is funny. That, you can't get around that. That's hilarious. I mean, it is just, there's poetry. I mean, you got love triangles and murder, and I mean it. Everything you want to go to Hollywood for, just read your Bible. It's in there. But very few people are the people today who look at this book as a guide for everyday living. The primary source of communication between God to man. And I like what it says, Holy Bible.
Amen.
Holy. It's a holy book. It's a holy book. Your obedience or disobedience to this book proves your love for God or lack of love for God.
Right. Amen.
If you love me, John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, okay, he gave us this book. Do we honestly think he doesn't expect us to live it? Why did he give it to us? He gave it to us, number one, so we would know about our sin. and can repent and believe the gospel. And then secondly, so those of us that are saved can know how to live. Do you know there's not a situation that you will ever come across in your life where there's not a principle somewhere in this book that will tell you what to do?
Amen.
It teaches men how to be men. It teaches women how to be women. It teaches employees how to be employees. It teaches church people how to be church people. It tells employers how to be employers. Neighbors, countrymen, it's all in there. But a church with people with no regard for the, obeying the Bible will allow all kinds of garbage in the church. They will have no rule of order in the church. And you know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. A church that has no regard for the Bible will be taken over and run by strong women and weak men. We are at the day in America that God warned us about where women rule over us.
That's right.
Because we deserve to be where we're at.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
It'll be taken over by carnal people, unspiritual people, if the people in it don't know what this book says. And then, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The first two or three points were milk. I want to give you some meat here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You want to know how the devil tried to destroy the church? He will try to cause division among the people.
Yeah.
I have to be careful here, but I really don't know how to be careful. Kid gloves was not one of my classes that I passed with flying colors. So y'all are voting, right? Can I just give you my cobology? This is just cobology.
Come on.
This is me. This vote ought to be 100% to zero.
Yeah. That's right.
You say, why? Well, the man of God prayed about it for years.
Amen.
And as your shepherd, the man who has to answer to God for how he pastors the church, sought and prayed, and I'm sure probably fasted over God's direction, not his. And God put on his heart the name of a man. If I was a member of Black Creek Baptist Church, of course I would pray. But here's how my mentality would be. Lord, if that's what you laid on the preacher's heart, I'm game.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You're a simpleton. I'm a Bible believer.
That's it.
I'm a Bible believer. God shows him stuff he ain't going to show you.
That's right.
But Satan loves division. Do you know that he does not have to destroy the church? He just needs to get a couple of people mad at each other. And he will, and they will do the work for him.
Oh, no,
they
work.
They will do the devil's work for him.
Yes, they will.
Do you know that the devil has destroyed thousands of churches through this method of division? Mm. He's probably destroyed more churches over division than he has the Word of God. More than anything else. That church that I told you that I got saved, I say it was the church that God saved me at, and it was the church that God saved me from.
Yeah. Amen.
They went through preachers every 2 years.
Mm. Come on.
They didn't like a preacher, they'd starve them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you right now, we're in the area, right? We could jump in a car and not be in the vehicle very long. I could take you to addresses and tell you stories about what happened to the people that went against the man of God in that church.
Well, we've had it here.
They're divorced or dead, or their children have died, or and they have, some of them died horrible deaths. Some of them buried grandchildren because of division. You better be careful. You better be careful. Division is a sign of a carnal Christian.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Well, bless God, you ain't going to tell me who I'm supposed to vote for. The Holy Ghost did not lead you to say that. The Holy Ghost did not lead you to think that. You're carnal. You're not spiritual. God is a God of unity. God is a God. How good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't know if the Lord wants me to say it, so when in doubt, don't.
God bless you, brother.
I texted, this ain't the thing that I'm in doubt for. I really want to say it, but I don't know if it's me or the Lord. So, but I will say this. I texted Brother McVeigh yesterday. And I said, brother, I am so excited over the thought of you becoming the next pastor. Nothing against your pastor.
Right. Right.
The reasons why he is doing this are good reasons.
Right.
Yes.
I sat and talked with a preacher who I believe has got one of the biggest amounts of wisdom from God that I've ever got, and he told me this, because I was dealing with a situation, you know, whether the pastor should stay or, you know, is it time for him to step back, and it was over health reasons, and he said this, he said, forget carnal people in the church. He said, I've seen more pastors destroy a church because they stay way longer.
Yes,
that's right.
Than they should stay.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of them stay because they think if they're not the pastor, they lose their identity and they lose their importance. And some stay because, well, they were one of those people that opted out of Social Security. And so if they don't pay, then it's money and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This will torque some of you. And you're handling this how God is leading you to handle. But Pastor Danny Farley at Shady Acres Baptist Church, who took over for Pastor Jack Wood, Brother Farley's been the pastor there, I want to say 28 years. And so it's been in the works for probably 3 or 4 years. He was praying about 3 different men, you know, who should be the next pastor. And I was there at their camp meeting in Houston back in January, and it ended on Friday, and I go home Saturday. Well, Sunday morning, I'm watching, or Sunday night, I believe it was, I'm watching on YouTube their Sunday morning service. And Brother Farley had one of the men who was still in town get up, and he preached the morning service, and they had the invitation. And Brother Farley gets up behind the pulpit, and this is how he's handled it. He said, we're having an ordination service tonight at 6 o'clock. He said, we're going to be ordaining Brother Brad Whitbrock into the ministry. He said, and at midnight, he will be the next pastor of Shady Acres Baptist Church.
Amen.
No vote. No input. No nothing. I say glory to God.
Amen. I like it.
You say, well, how'd that go over? It's gone wonderfully. Brother Farley's a faithful member in the church who's still preaching once a week during the week. And you know what happens? What has happened? I'm sure this has happened. What happens with a lot of time when the pastor turns the work over but stays in the church? You know, some people just, you know, they're used to talking to him.
Right.
And he said, go talk to the pastor. I'm not the pastor no more. But I thought that was pure Texas style. There was no lead up. There was no going away party. There was no transition. He just said, tonight you got a new pastor, and I'm not it. Hallelujah. That cuts a lot of this garbage out. You know, the division and all that kind of stuff. Now, how y'all are doing, brother, following the Lord, I'm criticizing that.
Amen.
I'm not at all. Amen. But that being said, I still go back to, it ought to be 100%. The list of what causes division in a church is endless. Endless. People get offended by somebody else. I'm just telling you right now, we have the wimpiest generation of men who get offended seemingly more than ladies get offended. It's like Jeremiah where he said their men became as women.
Come on.
There's some men, I don't know if I'm talking to Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. Bunch of wimpy men. Bless God, I am the leader of my home. Ain't I, honey? Right? I am. I know I'm the leader of my home because she said I could be. Another thing in addition to jumper cables I have under my pulpit is I have a binky from the nursery that I pull out occasionally. And if I was preaching this in my pulpit, I would pull that out right now. People having issues one with another. People sowing discord in the church. Can I just tell you this? God hates discord. But the Bible doesn't say in Proverbs chapter 6 that he hates discord. It says, he that soweth discord. So if you sow discord, God hates you. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm not too fond of you either. Amen. But if you sow discord, I mean, Brother Hayne, I mean really, Brother McVeigh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't there somebody else that could? I mean, just, mm-hmm. Let's pray about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Discord, God hates you. The pastor preaching on something and people undercutting the preaching.
Wicked.
We had a big day one day at the church I got saved at. It was Mother's Day. It was a church anniversary. We had over 400 people there. We had politicians there. We had local business owners up there. And the preacher got up and preached on the death angel. That went over well with church people. Well, all these important people, and he's preaching on the death angel? Better watch out.
Yeah.
Better watch out. I'll tell you another thing that'll cause division in a church. People spreading their little pet convictions around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. No problem.
I'll tell you one of my biggest pet peeves that I see in churches. Let me look. Hold on. I'm just taking, okay. All right, nobody in here. Okay, nobody. This don't fall into nobody I know in here. Or what I see. One of my biggest pet peeves are women who wear head coverings. You say, why is that a pet peeve? Because they're trying to appear humble and submissive. I have yet to meet only one lady that was the case. Right? 99 times out of 100, a woman who wears a head covering is the boss of the home.
Uh-oh.
I promise you. 99% of the time. Not all the time. But 99% of the time.
Yeah.
And I have seen, sadly, it's younger women who will go to other younger women in the church and tell them how they're not right with God because they don't have a head cut. I've seen churches get split over that stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, you believe it's right for God to want you to wear a head covering? Wear it.
Yeah.
Bring it down low even.
Yeah.
But don't go telling other women in the church that they ain't right with God because they don't have your conviction.
Yes.
I know a church where they had a couple in the church that believed that women ought to give birth at home. And they went around to all the other women in the church telling them they weren't right with God if they had their baby in a hospital.
Yeah. Heard it.
Really? People are dying and going to hell. Lives are destroyed. And you're going to put time and effort into that. Idiots. Just idiots. Busybodies will cause division in a church. Complaining about how stuff is done and why stuff is done. You know what I've discovered? The people that complain the most in the church are people that do the least. They ain't spent 1 second cleaning the church, but they will know if somebody missed a spot. We got ladies who ain't spent 1 second working in the nursery, but they'll complain about nursery workers. We got people who complain they ain't spent 1 second mowing the lawn. Well, bless God, they'll see if that lawn ain't striped right. How come they mowed and didn't weed whack? Is your arms broke? Is your feet broke? Nobody gets blessed by cleaning the church. They just get cussed when they don't. Or don't do it right. Amen? You can have any opinion you want, but you better be busy in the church before you get to have your opinions.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Truth.
Amen. This is an extreme, but I've seen things like it. Is the toilet paper go over or under? Okay, wait. Okay, all right.
That too, really? Facebook groups. All the whole diagram of the thank you.
But don't split the church over there. Man, oh man, that was... Wow. Okay, poor illustration, okay? That's that OCD kicking in, amen? Jeremiah chapter 23. I do have a confession to make. Growing up, it was under, amen? But now it's over, amen? And all God's people said, amen? Everybody see the blue light? Let me give you the last one here. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. All right, I want everybody to look at this verse. Okay, see that word shepherds there in the first part? What's the next word after that? Your flesh hates that word.
Yeah.
Your flesh does not like somebody being over you.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You want to know what the next thing is? The devil will try to destroy the church. He will try to discredit the authority of the man of God. People don't like it, but with any organization, there has to be an authority, and the pastor is the God-given authority in the church.
That's right. Amen.
Well, bless God, I don't think he should be a dictator. He's not. He's just making sure you don't become a dictator. And the problem is not that they think the pastor's the dictator. The problem is they want to be the dictator. And so they go around and they get their little circle of influence. And they will raise up against the preacher. And they'll get a following. Absalom.
Yes. Yeah.
You discredit the authority of that man right there. You are a devil. You are a rebel.
Amen.
And I'll make a papal decree right now. You ain't right with God.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't say this arrogantly or anything, but in 6 years, and I know six is nothing compared to Brother Asquith and Brother Hayne and all that, but I will say this. In 6 years at New Life Baptist Church, we ain't voted on anything. And I'm not taking away from this at all. What I'm saying is there are people in the church who think you should vote on whether you change the batteries in the clock.
Yeah, amen. Right.
Well, those are soft white, and those are not soft white. And,
oh, no.
And why can't they be the same? And because they're not, Brother Haynes' OCD is going to kick in. And we can't have that.
That's exactly what I thought.
One of my favorite pastimes now when I come to this church, if the Lord lets me come back, OCD is target number one. Amen. God has placed the pastor as the shepherd over the local assembly of believers. Y'all are voting on Brother McVeigh, but guess what? You ain't putting him in.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
If he becomes the next pastor, it has nothing to do with you.
That is right. Right. Come on. Thank God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
God put him there.
That's right.
God sets men up and God takes men down.
Right.
The word pastor means a shepherd, one that has the care of the flock and the herd. Listen. You know my relationship with Pastor Little. His right-hand man for 23 years. Okay, I was the assistant pastor or associate pastor. I did everything before I ever had that title. I did a lot. I organized the campaign. I lived with him for a year and a half before we got married. And when God put us into evangelism, Brother Asquith and Brother Hayne, God used that time of me living with him for a year and a half. I got to see a lot. I got to see stuff nobody else saw, Brother Cook. I got to see the home life. I got to see things. I got to see the way how he dealt with things in the church. And traveling in evangelism, don't take this the wrong way, but the only way I know how to word it is I kind of prided myself a little bit in trying to be a help to pastors because I saw things that other people in the church never got to see.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
But then when I became a pastor, I learned this. Mm. I still had no clue.
Amen.
As much as I saw, was nothing to compare to the way it is. I get a kick out of these guys that pastor 30 people and wish they pastored 100. I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going to the judgment seat with 30. That's good. I'm okay with that. Here's something a man taught me that I've never forgotten about 4 years ago. Your pastor, John Asquith, is, and it may be a big part, but he's one part of your world. You have you have a job, you have a family, you have a boss, you have people. He is one part of your world. To him, you are his world.
Amen.
I'm standing in Black Creek, New York today, half of my heart is here, and the other half is in Dover, Foxcroft.
Glory to God, brother. Amen.
Mm-hmm. When I laid my head on the pillow last night and prayed for the services here, mm-hmm. I prayed for the services there.
Amen. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen.
And so what is just one part of your world, you are his world.
Yes.
He eats, breathes, lives,
Amen.
Sleeps,
Amen.
Loses
Amen.
Sleep.
That's right.
Over yes. you in this church.
Right.
Lord, help me.
That man loves you more than your boss loves you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
He loves you more than your neighbor loves you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I promise you, he prays for you more than anybody else does. And how I have seen people in churches over the years treat the man of God would curl your toenails if I could give examples. When I came to the church, Brother Ather was a good man, but the church just couldn't afford the church couldn't afford insurance on the buildings and stuff. We had the stuff required. And I told the man, I said, we really need to pray about this. I said, we need to get insurance on this building. And one of the guys said, well, ain't it a blessing? We live by faith. I said, there's a fine line between faith and foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, here's the problem. I says, you're not the guy that gets up to go to the bathroom at 2 o'clock in the morning and looks out the window to make sure the church ain't on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking you to carry that burden. I'm just telling you I do.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands, dads, wives, you know how much you worry about the finances in your home? He's got to be concerned about the church finances.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's not on you, that's on him.
That's right.
We were talking the other day about, as the corrections officers has one of the highest suicide rates in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lump corrections officers and police officers in law enforcement, and I don't know the particular order, but law enforcement, doctors, and pastors are in the top five groups of suicide in the country. People sitting here, you're just thinking about what you're going to watch on TV when you get home. That ain't what he's thinking about. But God has placed a pastor over you.
Right.
And as submissive as you are to John Asquith, you need to be the same with Tim McVeigh.
Exactly.
Amen.
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 I have prayed this. There was a church I got saved at. God moved us to Hamburg for 20 years. Then God moved us to Indiana. So I've been a part, not counting the church that I pastor now, I've been a church member of 3 different churches. And this has been my prayer at every one of those churches. God, please let me always be part of the solution and not the problem.
Amen.
Good prayer. Good prayer.
I don't want to be the guy that my pastor has to wonder.
Right.
Are they? Is he?
Amen.
Would he? Will he?
Right.
I don't want to be that guy.
Amen.
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 I don't want to be. We got a guy in our church. I call him Faithful Bill. That's his name, Bill. Bill is the kind of guy that if he's not there on a Sunday morning and he doesn't, I don't hear from him, something is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are people who will miss church and not even think about relieving the worry off of him and say, we're sick, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, I don't have to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Red Bull. Here's what I think. I'm trying to preach my guts out on a Sunday morning, and I'm looking at a spot where I know so-and-so sits, and they didn't text me, and I don't know why they're not there. Well, they probably were just sick. No, that's not how a pastor thinks. They're mad. They left the church. They ain't never coming back. Am I right or am I not right? And I don't care how faithful somebody is. That's just stuff the devil does.
Yeah.
Plant that in your mind. And it may be just as simple as they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want them to worry about that. The only thing worse than getting 5 text messages that people aren't going to be there is not getting 5 text messages.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. There's times I walk in that building knowing ahead of time because they've texted me or called me where they're not, knowing we're going to be down 5 people. I hate that. But I'd rather have that than being down 5 people and not know why they're not there.
That's right, brother.
Hey, listen, are you going on vacation? I'm not saying you have to ask his permission to go on vacation, but let him know you're not going to be there. Mm-hmm. And if you got any responsibilities, make sure they're covered.
Yeah, amen.
Make sure they're taken care of.
Amen.
The pastor is always being judged, scrutinized, questioned, critiqued, criticized, talked about, put on display, put on trial. I had a testimony and a reputation at our church. You do not talk about the pastor around me. We was at a family get together. Well, we were at these people's house. They had family in. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, they started. I mean, it was roast preacher. And then somebody had enough sense. Says, whoa, 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 whoa. We better quit it. Cobb's here. I said, thank you, Lord. I must have done something right.
Amen, brother. What a testimony.
Don't say anything about him that you would not say to him, to somebody else.
Come on.
Well, I'll be telling you right now, Brother Kyle, I'm telling you, I'm sick of you elevating it over them. God elevated him.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 13, obey them that, obey them that have the rule over you. Ooh. It'd be bad enough it was over, but now we add the word rule. How does he rule over you? By preaching the truth from this pulpit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've told our folks, I said, I am not in control of what goes on in your home, but I am in control of what goes on in this building.
Amen.
You don't answer to God for that, I do. As Brother Zach would say, well. You got to forgive me. I pick up on people's quirks. I wanted to ask him what this was all the time. I don't know what that was. And 2 times he did it, it actually messed his tie up and not fixed it. So I got to ask him that. So forgive me for that. But I'm saying right now, this church, like every Bible-believing church, has a target on it.
Yeah, that's right.
And the devil has an unlimited supply of ammunition.
Right.
He's got everything from M-80s to nuclear bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever will get the job done, that's what he's willing to use.
Mm-hmm.
And you better pray and ask God that you'll be on the side of right every time. There's anything in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Be on the side of truth. And you know what? Thank God he loved you enough. One of the ways we know God loved us is he gave us a book.
Yeah.
But you know another way you know God loves you? He gave you a church.
Amen.
I travel. Brother Maury travels. There's people all over this country give their right arm for what you guys got here this morning or this afternoon. There's people all over this country got to drive a long distance to get something that isn't even like this. Thank God for the church.
Amen.
Father, thank you, Lord, for Black Creek Baptist Church. Thank you for Brother John Asquith as a pastor. And Lord, I pray, Father, during this transition that you would have your will and your way. And Lord, that the devil would not be allowed in, that he wouldn't be given place. And let's not be ignorant of his devices. Bless this church, I ask you.